Welcome to 12-Minute Convos with Jesus, believers. God chose first to have a conversation with us, His creation. His truth, spoken in one moment, became an evergreen seed for our generation today. The power of a conversation is eternal. Our prayer is that this listening space brings growth and transforms your life forever.
Good day, Erin. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. It's a great pleasure to connect with you. What part of the world are you in today?
I am in Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think the thing that I remember that really connected the conversation for me is your ability to hustle, right? I saw that, but it felt as though when I looked at your picture, I felt a calmness, right? It was really intriguing. So there's this calmness, and then there's the concept of the hustle. So how do you even combine the both things, though?
Well, I have come to learn from the Lord in the last few years that the world's hustle tends to be frantic and chaotic and aggressive. And our challenge is that while it does not say hustle in the Bible, the idea of hustle, when it's truly defined correctly, is to work with intention and purpose and really to emulate Jesus. And so I've learned to work that way, to work from a place of intention and seeking my Father first, and to allow myself to be led by the Lord. And that itself brings a level of peace and calm.
Interesting. Was there a variation on the type of hustle at some point in time before you got to this version of calmly hustling?
Oh, 100%. For much of my life, I like to say I was a driver, striver, and achievement chaser. So I hustled the way the world hustled, right? I worked constantly. I was always going for the next big thing. And I actually, that is how I found Jesus, is in my hustle. While I looked successful on paper, internally, I was empty and unfulfilled. And in a fateful conversation with a mentor, she shared the gospel with me. And that is when everything changed.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more about that. What was it like finding Jesus? Oh,
it was, I had known the Lord. I'd known God, right? I had been raised Catholic. And we went to church, and my husband and I even had our children baptized in church, but I never had a personal relationship with Jesus. And so in 2014, at the age of 46, with all of the outward symbols of success, and I felt myself so empty and despairing, I reached out to this mentor, and she said, "You don't know who you are or whose you are." And she said, "Do you know Jesus?" And I said, "Of course I do." But really, I did not. And so that day, from what I thought was really my lowest point, I thought, if this Jesus is all she says he is, then why wouldn't I take his hand? And so I did. And that, of course, immediately there was a sense of peace and a sense of rest. But he had a lot of pruning of me that he had to do. And at the same time, it was so freeing to know that I didn't have to carry the burdens all on my shoulders for life, for business, etc.
What's the journey been like up from then to now?
So it's been 12 years. And at first, the journey was very checking the list, right? Say like, okay, Lord, I've read the Bible. Now what? Okay, Lord, you told me to do X, Y, and Z, and I've done that. And now what? And my mentor, when I checked back in with her, said, you know, this journey with Jesus, this sanctification is not a checklist. It is truly walking with him. And so I would say the first half of this journey was very much some painful upheaval of pride, of idolatry, of learning that he is my provider, that I don't earn his love, and his blessing that he so graciously provides that. But he taught me along the way to slow down and to work in an unforced rhythm of grace. And then the second half has been much more joy, much more peace, but also much more awareness of the layers that he still is peeling away to make me more like him.
Feels as though you're putting in a lot of time doing devotions or some form of reaching out to ensure that you're hearing from God. If that is accurate, what does that look like for you?
Oh, that's absolutely true. You know, the more time I spend in the Word, and I have I wouldn't say a lawful, strict, legalistic routine of being in the Word, but I know that the more I'm in the Word, the more that I hear from Him, that I sense in my spirit where He's leading me. And so from a daily perspective, I'm spending time every morning, starting my morning in the Word and in prayer, and really just being in conversation with Him all day. And then the outcome of that, how I hear from Him, how I sense that He speaks to me, very often it's a feeling inside, just a sense of no, don't go that way, or yes, go this way. Very often He speaks to me through music. I'll be praying over something, and then a song will come on and it will speak right into the heart of what I was praying over. Or being in spiritual community with sisters in Christ who speak into me, even in admonishment and discernment, who will speak on something that they could not have known I was talking to the Lord about. And so all of those ways are how I hear from Him. And I encourage everyone, if you are concerned that you don't hear from Him, my question is, how much time are you spending with Him so that you can get to know His voice? Because He says that His sheep know His voice.
Understanding that part of you coming to Christ was designed in a conversation from a mentorship-mentee perspective, do you feel as though that is something that has been passed on to you as well when you're speaking, that you desire for the opportunity for others to possibly come to Christ from hearing from you, your books or your conversations or even your podcast?
That's certainly why I believe He has assigned me those things. And in my obedience, that I always believe that our obedience is connected to someone else's blessing. So I choose to be obedient in those things because I do believe that in those assignments, I'm able to cross paths even with people who don't know Jesus, or perhaps know Him but are far from Him. And it is certainly my hope that the Holy Spirit uses that to bring them to Christ. And at the same time, the audience that I serve are women who love Jesus. They just simply have sort of separated their faith from their work. And so it is my desire to use the work that He's given me to do to turn them back to Jesus, to point them back to Him. It's not about what I say. It's about, you know, the words He's given me. So I would say yes, that's likely very much from that encounter that I had, and also His use of the talents and gifts that He's given me for kingdom impact.
And have you seen more impact in this version of Hustle versus, old Aaron?
Absolutely. You know, old Aaron, my nickname in my corporate world was Pitbull. So I would go after it, right? But this, what I've seen the impact in this is conversations that I've had with people who have known me a long time, who will then say to me, you know, there's just something different about you. You have a sense of calm and joy, and I don't remember seeing that in you before. And some of them who don't know Jesus or who are far from Jesus will say, where does that come from? And then, of course, that's the opening to share the gospel. But I've also seen that I don't hold tightly to outcomes. I don't hold tightly to revenue or the client, yes or no, because I know when I am walking in the center of His will, I do what I can do. And He takes care of the rest. So I'm not frantically pursuing the impact. It happens as I'm obedient.
Do you find yourself having a version of you percolating in the inner parts of your body sometimes? Like the version of you that would say, for example, hey, you know you would have responded to that differently if it was 10 years ago. Does that exist still, or has that voice been completely muted?
I don't believe it's been completely muted. I believe the Lord leaves it for me because he wants me to see how far he's carried me. And so I absolutely have that conversation with myself often. And the response that I sense in my spirit when I say that to myself, oh, you would have responded so differently, is the do you see the work that I do in and through you? Do you see how I change you? Do you see how I lead you to respond to the world differently? And we are all a work in progress, right? So he continues to show me so graciously and faithfully where I still need some molding and I still need some pruning. And I've come to be grateful for that and even to welcome that because he can take me deeper in it.
Yeah, I love that. I guess it helps you to be present for others who are in a state of evolution when it comes to their walk with Christ as well, is what it feels like to me as well.
Well, it is. And it's also, I believe it gives them a sense of comfort and being seen and being heard because I never portray, I don't believe I portray myself to have overcome it all.
Right.
Very often I say in my podcast or to clients, you know, I may only be two steps ahead of you, and that simply means that I've walked the path you're on, and I want to walk alongside you now so that you also have that breakthrough in Christ.
Love that. Amazing audience, if you're listening and Aaron's voice has captured you and you want to learn more, of course, you know this is where you get the 12-minute bite, right? But you can definitely check out her podcast. She has upcoming books in February, Redefining Hustle, Navigating Success with Jesus. In closing, is there anything else you'd like to share?
I would simply remind everyone that the Lord made them ambitious in some way, and yet he did not make them to use that ambition the way the world would do that. So seek him and surrender and let him lead you.
Love it. Again, Aaron Harrigan, thank you for being what is inspired by 12-Minute Convos.